better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. I am JT, and I'm here with the almighty Joe Worthington.
What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in.
Man, visiting other gyms, part two.
Oh, big etiquette.
It's crazy. There's so much involved with just trying to do your jiu-jitsu at a different gym. And we'd gone through the kind of just getting to know your stuff. And then it's like, well, what about rolling?
What about when you're actually on the mat?
Yeah. Interacting with people who you've never met and they've got all kinds of biases, techniques, everything. And you might just do something which is real normal at your gym. Like you just give them a wet willy. And then they're like,
oil check.
Yeah. They get offended. You're like, what? That's how we get friendly. What's going on here? So yeah, we thought it was worth doing a second ep. Because there's so much stuff that is not stated. And I have fucked this up and gotten in so much trouble because of doing the wrong stuff.
How so? Give me one.
I one time called a 5-time world champion black belt to roll as a blue belt. Now, this is at Cabrinha's in LA. So I didn't really get the whole seniority thing. I was just like, I'm free. You're free. What's up, man? And this is like, the guy just looked at me in disgust. Like as if I would even consider looking at you / even rolling with you, and just walked off to the side and had a drink. So I just sat out, and then somebody who was on the
fucking ran up behind the cunt and took him down. Boom.
I was like, the roll starts now, son. The fight never ends. Protect yourself, fool. No, there was a guy who was injured. And he's like, bro, what are you doing? You can't call a senior belt to roll. It's like, man, you're going to get it next. He's gonna call you to roll. But I didn't really even understand that. So the funny thing was, so a friend of mine he'd actually got elbowed in the face and had a cut. And so we were calling him Cut Senior because he just kept getting split. He's bleeding all over the place. I said I'd roll with him. He was another blue belt. Then that black belt came and said, you, we roll. And I'm like, nah, man, I said I'd roll with my friend. We're rolling now. And he was like, He got so angry with me.
Because you turned him down.
Because I turned him down, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
No one had to, like, I didn't really get it. I was just like, I'm doing jiu-jitsu here. It is what it is.
We've already got a thing.
We got a thing.
Yeah.
Chill. And, bro, he was slagging me out in Portuguese. He was conscious. Like, I could see he was pointing me out and talking shit to me, to Cabrinha and a couple of the other instructors, talking about what a bad gringo I was. But anyway, them's the roles. So
I mean, you hadn't paid for the class, so who gives a shit, right?
I'd paid a lot of money, actually.
Fuck that gym. No,
I'd paid $500, $500 US for the week.
It was, oh, wow. You're doing a training camp type vibe.
Yeah, world's camp.
They made sure they got their piece.
Yeah, they did. But it was just one of those things. People don't tell you this shit, man.
So, man, the gym that I came up in, there was never anything about – the first two gyms that I came up in, there's never any talk about like, hey, you can't ask a higher belt to roll. It was just whoever.
Mm.
You know, it's hey, everyone's more or less equal here. Yeah, we line up in belt order, but if you want to roll with that person, just ask. And there was also none of this if the higher belt asks you to roll, that you have to say no to the person you've already agreed to roll with – and go roll with them. There was, you know, no hierarchy in that. And to be honest, I liked it.
Mm.
I think it's honest.
Look, the way it was explained to me, and actually Adam had explained it, Adam Childs, our good friend, had explained it to me when I was in Brazil because I didn't understand what was going on. He just said, look, dude, you're going to learn more rolling a higher belt. And also that higher belt might need a rest round. So they need you to roll with them so they can then
– you're a resource that they require.
They need that so they can then pony up and then go to war in the next round, right? So this is how it organically works out. You get more experience of this high-level jiu-jitsu and then they get their rest round. And he kind of – that's kind of how he broke it down for me in not so many words. So I was like, oh, okay, I get that.
There's rationale there.
But, yeah, this kind of – people demanding you roll with them, that's kind of weird. And this is where we're touching on a subject which I guess we've maybe talked about in the context of being a smaller human versus a bigger human or maybe you're afraid that maybe you're at risk of injury,
yeah,
of being able to say no to a role.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing.
You know, the big, maybe you're a female.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just, we know that anytime there's a power imbalance, it lends itself to potential abuse.
Sure.
And so it's just like, hey, if you have to physically engage with someone that says you must, that's actually kind of full on.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah, you know, like, so yeah, so let's talk about that. Like the, well, maybe let's look at it from the martial arts perspective, which sure. is like the rank is the rank. And if you're below that rank, you are subordinate to it.
Sure.
And so they have the power to say, no, you will train me. I like that. I like that in a pure martial arts sense. And when I'm thinking about like, you know, like feudal era Japan, you know, and I'm training jiu-jitsu and it's sure. like, you know, we put on our outfits and go fucking sword fighting and shit after class because, sure. you know, I'm a Ronin.
Yep.
it's like, yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense that the person with the rank is the thing.
Sure.
However...
It ain't feudal Japan no more.
That's right. In this day and age, it's like you don't know what someone's attitude is. You don't know what they're...
No, but you can get a vibe.
Well, you can like totally get a vibe.
If you've seen someone just beat the living hell out of somebody, you're like, oh, God, they're a savage. And that person, say you're a white belt, you're just visiting the gym and you just... Or you're a blue belt and you just watch this brown belt tear through another brown belt and then they say, you, you're like, oh, this is going to be brutality, you know? Look, there is something in getting rinsed, but then also if you've got an injury or if there is a problem there, look, I think some people find it hard enough to say no in their own gym, like in a home environment.
Yeah.
So when you're away and you're in a totally different environment and you're just, oh man, I'm just trying to get my jiu-jitsu in. I'm not here for a war. I don't want to offend anyone. You know, we it's that human urge in us to fit in. That we sometimes say yes to a situation where, you know, we get pulled into a situation which might be bad for us.
Yeah, it's yeah, like what do you think? Like if you're running a gym, I mean, so say here at JB's,
sure.
we have the mat rules up on the wall.
Sure.
And it says you don't have to roll with anyone if you don't want to.
No.
You can say no. And I personally here in this culture of this gym, I like that because it's just like cool, everyone knows where they stand.
Yeah.
I also, when I'm training and, you know, sometimes like, you know, it's between rounds and I'm like, hey, you want to do the next one?
Yeah.
And person will go, yeah. And then they'll turn to their friend and go, sorry, man, got to roll with Joey. And I'll be like, oh, nah, dude,
you guys
yeah, do yeah. that. And they're like, no, let's go. And you're like, okay, sure. I get it. They want me to talk about them on the podcast. Obviously. I get it, guys. You know, fuck, no big deal.
They want to get the stuff.
My people,
after class.
I see you. but no, you know, they.
Because they're looking for a restaurant.
Hey, should we just take this one light? What do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, man. We're just
fucking
screwed.
It's Saturday, man. We're not trying to kill anyone.
What do you have for lunch? Yo, what's happening?
You want to grab coffee after class?
Yeah, why not?
but so, you know, so I like that. I don't enjoy that when people are like, oh, no, I have to roll with you because you are a higher belt.
Yeah.
But I also see the fucking thing. I don't know. How do you think it should play out in reality?
The time I've seen it where it's probably uncool is where a senior belt is snobbing a lower belt. So... Sometimes you don't have a choice. Like you're looking at the mat, there's even numbers and there's a purple belt and there's a white belt. And the white belt's very new and doesn't know anything. And the purple belt's like, oh, what am I going to get out of this? I don't want to teach. I don't want to, yeah. And they'd rather just sit than share. I think that's crap. I think that's no good. I think if you're a senior belt, this is just a philosophical thing. This isn't a gym's rule thing. This is just more like, oh, you know, if you got a chance, provided they're not, you know, you don't think they're an injury risk to you, I don't think a senior belt should snub a lower belt in that way. That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to a lower belt looking at someone who's far more skilled, more athletic, and potentially maybe mean as hell – that could be really bad. If you're just traveling in town to a different town and you just wanted to come for some rolls and that could turn into a knee reconstruction, very uncool. And this is where we were talking about terms of engagement.
You're saying if the advanced higher student goes real hard on the newcomer?
Yeah, and because I've seen that. You've seen that. Like bullying exists in jiu-jitsu.
Sure, yeah.
And it's not usually like, oh, man, that white belt needs to take it easy on that purple belt. That's rare. It's more the other way around. Not always, but sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think this is another thing within gym culture. It can get a bit awkward is saying, hey, man, oh, yeah, like having a little pre-chat. The little pre-chat before the roll, I think, counts.
Like a little conversation.
Yeah. How long have you trained? Oh, do you guys do leg locks? Oh,
yeah. We're doing heel hooks in this one.
Yeah. Just getting clear on that so there's no nasty surprises and then your happy visit to a new gym is turned into surgery.
I think open communication before the roll is paramount.
Mm.
You know, because, yeah, there's a lot of shit that might need to be said. You might have an injury. You might be uncertain of what techniques are okay here. I know. I think I talked about I walked into fucking De La Hiva in Rio.
Yeah.
And put a footlock on one of their black belts. And he's like, we don't do footlocks here. And then he just fucking raped me for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like – and I felt like such a dick. I'm like, oh, why'd I do that? But if they had just said, hey, we don't do footlocks here.
Like,
but if you want, we can train – we can do them in this round. Like, right, yeah. Great, okay, we know where we stand. Yeah, I think it's silly to assume that people will just figure that shit out.
But there's this weird, it's kind of, I guess it's old school and maybe it's just, we were talking about the evolution of jiu-jitsu gyms, of the quiet respect of we just bow, shake hands,
yeah,
now commit murder.
Go to war.
Yeah, and but it's kind of funny because actually it's worthwhile to just, I always try and get a gauge of the person in front of me because it's a bit of protection for myself, but it's also like, I don't want to be the brutalizer here. Oh, I only train once a week. Oh, okay, cool. Man, I've just come off the back of a shoulder surgery. Oh, okay, cool. All right, do you do leg locks? Nah, man, I never learned that stuff. Oh, yeah, no worries. So you just get a feel for how this role's going to go. You know,
you tend to get passed on the left or the right. Okay, cool. Which side do you normally get kimura on?
What's your bad shoulder? No, it's just for me because also if the person's like non-communicative, it's kind of like being in the bullpen, right? Like you like to have a chat, don't you?
I love chat.
You do.
I mean, I'm getting out my nerves.
You are. But I mean, but you know how you might be like, hey, man, how you going? They're like,
Bro, loosen up. We're up against each other next.
you go to shake hands and like instead of bumping knuckles, they actually punch your hand. You're like, all right, I know how this is going to go. Okay, cool. Let's dial it up. So I think
– it's funny. You just talking about being in the bullpen then. I just got like little jitters.
Oh, tingle. Hey, let's go. But I think just to circle back around, terms of engagement, that's important.
Yeah.
Because maybe that gym does leg locks. You don't know squat about that. And so you can say, hey, could we not do those?
Yeah.
I think this ties in with the saying no thing because we were saying before that at a particular gym, there's a particular guy who he's a famous guy. If you do well against him, he'll ask you to roll the next round. And if you try and do well against him again, he'll basically call you to roll until he bashes you.
Yeah.
And you need to know that's what you get yourself in for.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, he's one of the best in the world and it's at a competitive gym and that's just how it goes. But the inside word is you don't actually want to have a good day against this guy because he'll ruin you.
Yeah.
He'll find a way to get you.
And I mean, there's nothing wrong with a high-level competitor training like that if that's how everyone knows they
train.
If
that's the game, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. It's kind of that thing again where it lends itself to low-key abuse.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, no one told you that. Now you're in the shitstorm. Good luck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then it also, this plays into the next thing, I guess, of etiquette is what's considered a dick move. Mm. So you footlocking that guy. Joe's like, it's just a guillotine on the foot. What's your problem, bro? I'm the guillotine machine.
Bro, you should have defended it.
Bruh, you're a black belt, aren't you?
I'd come from a gym that was big on footlocks.
Sure.
Straight footlocks. And at the time, we were doing them really well. You know, they were very successful in competition with them. And it was like, and I remember my coach at the time, Dan, was really like dialed in on straight ankle lock technique. Because it was at that time where no one had technique. It was just like jump on the ankle,
just crank,
jump back and then crank. Yeah. So he had like a couple of little adjustments that were actually quite effective.
Very effective.
But yeah, I get to Brazil and then it took me some time to find out, oh no, gym, like footlocks aren't cool here at all.
Dirty.
Yeah, that's right. They're historically considered a dirty technique and you're a piece of shit for doing one. And I'm like, fuck.
Correct. No, it's rough, right? No one told you that. It's not on the gym rules. Like,
that's right.
Who knows? But then wrist locks. See, I've seen – the reason why I say wrist locks is not – I'm not like a big proponent of them, but I actually –
Joel Costello tried to wrist lock me the other day just saying
– dirty.
Fucking dog.
What happened to that guy?
He's back.
Okay, good. I'm glad he's back. He's come back dirtier than ever. No, I think the thing about a wrist lock – because I actually injured a guy quite badly. I didn't know. I was wrist locking him and he wasn't tapping. This is a Korean guy, Korean judo black belt, very tough guy. just never tapped.
I'm tapping him. No big deal.
Never.
No one else ever tapped him. I'm tapping him. No big deal.
I was going for the armbar. Wouldn't tap on the armbar. And so I switched to the wrist lock and I'm looking at his face and he was trying to stand.
Korean guy, I'm guessing, no expression. Like not giving you anything.
No, he had furious eyes. Like,
okay.
And I was going for the wrist lock and I'm putting it on. I'm looking at him and he tried to like, it was weird. He was kind of bent over. He's trying to shake me off. And I was like, bro, you're going to tap, like tap. And then his wrist just went ka-snap. Like he just went palm to there. Mm. And then he just went, oh, like gritted teeth. And I was like, oy, let go. And then he was just like, wouldn't look at me. And I'm like, bro, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. Went, got an ice pack, whatever.
I got you an ice pack.
No, he wouldn't let me. Wouldn't talk to me. Never rolled again. Didn't see him again. No, never at that class, not another class. And I was asking, I was like, yo, is he okay? Like, oh, I think he's got, someone wrist locked him. I was like, oh, what fuckhead did that? It's terrible. I felt terrible. I still carry that. I'm like, man, that's really bad. And that's the thing about a wrist lock. It feels bad, and so you usually tap early. But if someone just cranks it, you go from zero to torn cartilage real quick.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I got good wrists.
You like, got, man, you got bloody.
I know
got,
they're strong and mobile, but
nah, but you got the bloody
the fin push up and
the
shit.
The fin push up. That's next level. Most people don't have
but
that.
But I'm also just like, well, it's kind of like a foot lock. It's like when it's on, you should just tap. But if you know, if you grit a lot of things, like sure you can grit out an armbar, and then at some point the shit's going to start to tear.
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
No. But I'm saying that, like, for example, if you are new to a gym,
yeah,
maybe don't pull out these moves. That's what I'm saying. When we're talking about dick moves, like how to get hated. Oh, that guy from that gym, he came in, straight foot lock. When we told him not to do that, he started wrist locking everyone. Yeah. And then he just switched to heel hooks. He's like, it's not a straight foot lock, bro. It's rotational. So I think it's important that whatever you do at your gym, it's really good before you start rolling or anything, whether you ask the instructor or the person in front of you, like your partner that you're about to roll with, is there anything that we shouldn't do or is there any rules, you know? Like I think this just comes back to the communication thing, that there's certain things that are going to get you hated and possibly get you rolled way – you're going to get a way worse experience from being at this new gym because you just didn't know. And it's as simple as asking. And if you ask and they don't have an answer for you, so be it, away you go. But most places do have these hidden yet explicit rules, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Explicitly unstated.
Yes. And I guess like if you're a new practitioner hearing this, not that I agree with this, but yeah, wrist locks and foot locks are like two of the kind of taboo movements, like two of the taboo submissions, which it's probably changing in time, but – yeah, so if you go to a new academy, just consider that if they're a strong part of your game, maybe just check with the coach or the person you're rolling with, or maybe resort to something else until you've become more of a regular there.
Yeah, definitely. And look, you know, leg locks is so much more a thing now.
Yeah.
But then I was talking to a friend of mine.
If you're jumping into a no-gi class,
sure,
leg lock away.
But a friend of mine was like, well, no, actually careful on that, because actually a friend of mine, she's a white belt, she said that some blue belt tried to heel hook her in the gi. I was like, heel hook in the gi? That's a bit rough.
Well, yeah, this is where mistakes are made.
Yeah.
People, like, bringing their no-gi shit to a gi game.
Yeah, and it's like, well, it's so much harder to defend the friction with the gi, and you can't, like,
I told you, I've had a brown belt and a black belt in the last 12 months. Both heel hook me in the gi.
That's,
and I'm like,
what?
Are we doing that?
You can't.
And it's like, been it's, like this weird awkward thing where they're like, yeah, we're doing it.
Since when? But no, but
they've been desperation moves as far as I can tell.
But they are desperation moves for someone to try and pull a heel hook out. Because for those of you out there who don't know, the IBJJF have for the longest time not allowed reaping, which is foot position around the hip, or like heel hooks of any sort. But in their own desperation to keep up with the modern jiu-jitsu game, at brown and black belt they have reintroduced heel hooks for brown and black belt, but not in the gi.
Yeah.
So it's like anyone who tells you like, oh, yeah, man, this is like what we do here, is like it's a much higher threshold to like closer to injury to try and do those moves without your ability to slip, turn and move with the friction of the kimono there. So it's pretty shisty as a move. Especially if you're doing well against somebody. You know, someone just whips out something pretty nasty. You're like, whoa, what's with the eye poke? It's like, what's what we do here when you do better jujitsu than us?
Then they just gaslight, I didn't eye poke you. What? Bro, your finger just went in my eyeball. No, bro, it didn't.
You just eyeball butted my finger. My finger hurts now.
Gentlemen, y'all strive for gold in your life, right? Gold medals, gold watches, gold everything. However, there is a certain type of man who goes the extra mile. He walks with confidence of a lion and he giggles in the face of danger. He's a big, hairless winning machine. And when he unzips his pants, he sees platinum. That's right. Manscaped would like to announce that their biggest and best ultimate hygiene bundle, the Platinum Package 4.0, is now available worldwide. You too can have this same level of hygiene. You can get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code Grizzly at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. It's time you enjoyed the finer things in life. Get yourself a Platinum Package for your Platinum Package. I told you I had a dude headbutt my stomach once from Close Guard. He just like, boom, headbutted me kind of in the ribs.
Really?
And I was like, bro, what the fuck was that? And he was like, what was what?
Really?
And I'm like, what? Headbutted me like in the trunk. Not that it hurt, but yeah, he was pissed off because I was a
had him in Close Guard
big
down.
White belt. And he was a, you know, an advanced blue belt. And I was just bringing all the athleticism.
Of course.
And yeah, I just remember that. I was like, wow, that was a real dick thing. But yeah, he pretended it didn't happen.
Dude, I got slammed in a triangle one time. Got a little bit concussed. But I didn't let go of the triangle. Like I was like, no, I'm finishing this. And I was really struggling to finish. So I just did the throat punch.
Like, oh,
I just,
nice.
Just knuckles under the chin. And yep. I was like pretty rocked. But I'm like, I'm finishing this, bro. And
Panther fist?
No. Just straight fist. And, I was like, yep.
Nice.
Woo, and just kind of staggered off the mat. Well, and people are like, yo, you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I got the tat. I'm good. How many of you are there? Like, I was so rocked. But that's the thing, man. Like, sometimes people just do wild stuff to you, especially if you're visiting. This is what we're kind of – this is how we're couching this conversation is people don't want to look bad in front of their friends, you know, especially if you're a lower rank. If you're a white belt or blue belt and you're actually, you know, you're pretty handy, you go to a gym and they got some people in there who are maybe veterans or, you know, just, you know, weekend warriors, don't train as much as you, and you start styling on them. That's also a dick move. You know, like it's that idea of how hard do you go, right? Because we were touching on this before that do I take it easy because I don't want everyone to hate on me, or do I bring the heat because they're bringing the heat?
Yeah, and that's what's expected.
Yeah, that's the standard here.
Yeah.
That's
a hard one to manage.
It is.
How do you approach it? Because there's also the other sort of sub-question of that one, which is like for higher belts – like if you're a black belt and you show up and you're training with another black belt,
yeah,
like how hard do you go?
Well, usually black belts, there's a bit more disclosure there, especially if you kind of know them a little bit. If you're aware of each other, they might say, "Hey, man, my shoulder's really jacked, so can you not like throw me on my shoulder or something?" You know, and you go, "Yeah, I can respect that. You still have a good role, but you're not like actively attacking their vulnerability." But maybe depending on the person, they might. You got to be careful who you disclose your weaknesses to, because they might just dive on that foot, whatever. I feel at black belt, it's the expectation is like, we're both black belts. This is going to, you know, it'll be a competitive role.
Yeah.
It's very rare, unless they're your good friend, do you keep it too cruisy. On the other hand, like when you are rolling lower belts, my thing that I do for my own jiu-jitsu, I always try to work out – what is the least amount of energy I can apply and beat this person? Like to test my skill, because that's what my old coach Dan Cherubin used to do. He used to like try and roll you with like one hand. So after a while, he'd just put that hand behind his head and work his guard. And you're like, bro, like, oh, it's so frustrating. And then he'd just sometimes just go two hands, but he's just knotting you up with his leg. You're like, how is this guy so good? This is crazy. And so what I've tried to do to stop myself from just grinding people into dust is to be like, could I still do pretty well in this role and only use, you know, 50% of the energy I'd use?
Yeah.
And then if they kick me in the balls, then it's then it's just as much energy as I can use to make you give up on life before the buzzer finishes. How many times can I tap you in 5 minutes? 8, 10, 12 times? Are you going to give up to chest pressure? Let's find out.
So as a practical sort of guide there, then, you know, you're showing up to a new gym. You're not really sure how hard they go, what's expected. How do you approach that?
Your intention matters. Are you there to take names? Like, is this like a bit of a gym, a dojo storm? Are you going in there to just, I'm coming in here to let you all know who the hell I am. All right, you got to be prepared for the hate, but you're there to bang. Whereas if you're just you're early in the jiu-jitsu journey, you're trying to expand your networks and you're trying to just find your way, make some friends, I think it's always better to err on the side of like not as hard, but protect yourself.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing. Like don't just let someone just run a train on you. Like match their intention. If I sense somebody's really tired, yeah, I'll probably dial down a little bit. Or if it's Joe and Joe's like, oh, look, man, you know, I've got kids and I haven't slept that well. I'm a bit dehydrated. Boom. You're like, oh, he's hit me with the calf slicer. It's like, what was that, man? He's like, oh, I just, you know, I started to feel good. My banana and protein shake must have kicked in. Like, fuck. Lulled me into this
50%
false sense
Joey is a force.
Lulled me into a false sense of security. If you don't know the people, always err on the side of protection.
Yeah, I got to imagine that this person's going to be bringing it.
And if they don't, that's okay. And if they do, I always match and mirror.
Yeah.
That's usually how I do it. But I'm pretty lucky that I kind of have that choice. Sometimes you don't have that choice, right? Yeah. How about yourself, Joe? How do you handle going into a new gym? Because you mentioned a while ago there was a very keen purple belt guy who was like, hey, man, yo, you want to go? Like, oh, like could see you as a new person was like, so keen to like, whereas maybe a few other people would shy away from you. This guy wanted all the smoke.
Yeah, yeah. This guy brought it, and I was just cruising in. I didn't go in with enough focus.
Right,
right. This was that gym where they made me spend 15 minutes signing up, that whole thing. And then I found out. Oh yeah, he's the most savage guy on the mats here. That kid.
Right, right.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I was just happy to get on the mats. Like, hey man, let's do like a little warm up thing, you know, kind of vibe. So, yeah, I mean, that's always been a problem of mine is just generally not showing up enough to the role. Yeah, look, it's really hard. It's really hard. I think that the risk you run when you go, like, when you come in, like, I'm just going to sort of see what they're doing and match and mirror kind of thing. The risk there is that they've got the upper hand because they're, like, a step ahead if they're putting a bit of a game on, and that potentially you come out of that role and you're like, fuck, I just, you know, I underperformed or I just got dominated or whatever. And really, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
No.
Right? The risk you run if you go the other way is that you end up going real hard on someone and it's kind of like, oh, that fucking visiting cat just kind of takes it all a bit seriously. So either way, you know, there's no sure bet.
No.
I think it's probably like navigating that thing is like, is jiu-jitsu in a way.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're taking less, oh, fuck, yeah, okay. Okay, protect myself but try and shut them down a little bit. Oh, shit. Didn't go hard enough, you know.
You get, I honestly believe you get better at reading it the longer you do jiu-jitsu. So if you're new to the game, that's not very helpful as advice.
Yeah.
But you do need to observe the mat. So if you do get a rest break or if there's uneven numbers.
But what if you don't take rest rounds?
It's not about rest rounds, Joe. This is about the coach has said, no, you can sit out this round.
Okay.
Right. It's a bit different.
Actually, we should talk about the two when coaches tell and matching partners up. Continue.
Yeah, but observe the mat. Yeah. I mean, just go, oh, whoa, those guys are going crazy over there. Oh, these guys seem to be cruising. Some of my best experiences are where senior belts have had mercy on me and just kind of allowed me to move. I didn't get the better of them in any way, but they kind of let me sweep them and then maybe they let me take their back, but then they just escaped. And then just mounted me. You know, like, I'm like, oh, I'm doing really well. Oh, no, I'm not. They're just letting me. Like, I just, oh, nah. Cool. But I got to the end of the row and was like, wow. I actually felt like I got to do some jiu-jitsu there. And it was like such a nice experience to be allowed that someone lets you play a bit. And that's, like, that's pretty special to give someone that, not just crush them, just because they're not as technically advanced as you or whatever it might be. So, man, I think the important thing is the more conscious you are of all these variables, whether it's saying no to a role, understanding, you know, can you ask or not ask, not, you know, not pulling out dick moves, or conversely, being aware that someone is being dick-ish to you, and then maybe just being able to read the room, because you know how the intention you bring, the energy you bring, generally will have an effect on the people around you. So even though you may not be aware of it at the time, people are watching you. And if you intend to do this thing for the next 10, 15, 20 years, you might be forming really important relationships at that time and you don't know it. So the way you conduct yourself is kind of important. So that thinking about it a bit more and will give you a better experience, but will also ultimately lead to better experiences in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a thought, kind of going back to what we're talking about
sitting off on
who you can roll with, it's tricky, right?
Mm.
One of the, I actually like this, and I'm not sure how you feel about it, but when you have the coach matching people up,
sure.
Well, I actually like that. When I go to gym, coach, like, hey, Joey and Jules, you guys go. You're like, fuck, because it removes, in a way, assuming that the coach has...
But it can be a stitch-up.
Of course. The power's now in their hands, right? But it does lend itself. It removes that, like, who can I ask to roll, dude, you know?
Look, so at Alliance, I had this guy, Guy, this little guy, Guy, and he had, like, one leg significantly shorter than the other, so he had this crazy limp. Best guillotine game. I saw him put... Bernardo Faria out like crazy. This guy is probably like a 65 kilo guy, and he's just a lovely guy, like little dude, like if he's 5'5", just cherub like face, curly black hair. I was like, he had this beautiful girlfriend who was significantly taller than him, bro. And I was like, man, his girlfriend's so hot. Anyway, guillotine game's off the hook. A very large heavyweight black belt had come, Brazilian, from some other part of Brazil. And he came in like, yo, who am I? Who are you going to match me with? Like, you know, put me with Bernardo. And he's like, oh, no, you go with Guy. No. And he got so insulted. Like, you're going to put me with this little limpy blue belt? And he just came in like, I'm just going to take
him
down.
He was a blue belt.
Guy, yeah. Yep. And he probably should have been purple. Maybe like four-stripe blue belt, yep. Should have been purple. Maybe should have been a black belt. Who knows? He's just super friendly and just you disarming by the look of him. He put this guy out so fast. This guy came in, was trying to pressure, and Guy just like snapped his head in and just sunk in the guillotine so deep. And then the dude was just unconscious. And what that did, it was a real psychological play from Fabio. What that did to demoralize this heavyweight black belt in front of everyone was like, bro, you just got choked out by a lightweight blue belt who's got a limp. How are you going to go against everyone else? Like, it was such a psychological play. And he was shook after that.
Fair play.
Yeah, but...
Fair play.
I just wonder about this.
I mean, you know
the coach matching you up, like, it's kind of...
Oh, of course. But, you know, I think it's probably a little bit safer, I think, for lower belts.
Yeah.
Right? And if you show up and you're a white or a blue belt and you're like, fuck, I don't know who and what, and the coach just says, hey, man, I'm going to put you against my white belt. You know, you're just like, cool.
That's...
Thanks for looking after that.
Well,
for me.
Well managed. Better managed.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got a voicemail.
Please, play that.
Hey, guys. My name's Aaron. Coming at you from Leeds, UK, which is in the cold north of England. Big fan of the podcast. Listened for quite a while. Lots of useful bits in there. Always directing my training partners over to you guys. Trying to work on my mobility this year. Thought, you know, you've got the new app release. I'd give the mobility course a go. Only to... pop my ankle whilst wrestling. It's been about 2 weeks and I can't really put heaps of weight on it. And because I know just saying popped would trigger Joey, I have been to a physio and it's my ATFL. So basically stops my foot sliding off the bottom of my leg, as far as I understand. So I can't do the full thing. What sort of modifications or regressions can I do with the mobility work to stop putting weight directly through the ball of my foot specifically? Cheers, guys.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, Aaron. Sorry to hear about the ankle, man. You popped it. That's unfortunate. Yeah, fuck. Nondescript terminology.
But that's kind of
damaged the tendon.
That's the feeling / that's even the sound you get, right?
That's right, you do.
You get that little...
Yep.
Like, God, what's that? Or a snap, a tear. Look, thanks for your message. It is a challenging thing because you feel like you're making progress and then now you can't work with it. I've had my right ankle pretty badly injured, the first thing I did to try to restore function in my ankle was in the pool, like hydrotherapy of sorts. Just being able to try to restore your range of motion in the ankle without loading it. Literally, I was like lying down. That's all I had. I was staying in this hotel in Anaheim, lying down in the pool and kind of doing flexion and extension work. But because you're in the water, it's far easier and there's no impact. So there's no pressure in the ball of the foot.
Not much gravity in there.
And being horizontal is a big deal. So if, I don't know about yourself, but maybe your ankle might be swelling up. Possibly that really the only way that you can reduce that swelling without drugs is to have your leg horizontal. If you've got your foot down low, the blood and the lymph and everything is going to shunt down there and it's just going to kind of gather and you can get the kind of cankle, fat ankle situation. Now, sure, inflammation is part of the repair process, but you want to be able to get the blood flowing. And because it's so painful, you feel less inclined to move it, right? But ultimately, if you're seeing any kind of a physio or even with a person post-surgery, restoring movement is probably the key thing without doing anything that's going to cause further damage. So depending on how badly the ligament is affected, gradually restoring range of motion before you load it up, I think, is the first step. Okay.
Yeah, I think, and Aaron was asking too, like he was on good track with the mobility work. He's like, what can I do now?
Right.
Well, you kind of probably can't do any of the stuff that's standing on your feet, basically. So most of the lower body work in our mobility program would be standing on your feet, right? Whether or with weight on your feet, whether it was like wall lunges or it was Cossack squats or it was stride stance, good mornings, Jefferson curls, that kind of thing. However, if you look at the more static versions of our lower body mobility, a lot of them are seated on your butt.
Mm.
So like using your belt for the hamstring stretch,
yep.
Doing a frog stretch, which is stretching the inner thigh rather than a Cossack.
Yep.
Right. These variations are probably going to be available to you. So I would be using those. So try and find the variation where you're not standing on your feet. And then I would double down on the upper body stuff because, you know, you got a lower body injury. It's a great chance to dominate upper body. So I think all of the spinal stuff, shoulders, wrists, elbows, that sort of deal. What I would also do is take your rehab work and put that into your mobility sessions.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, cool. I got my upper body stretches here. I got a couple of lower body ones. And then I got these three rehab drills and that's going to be my mobility workout for the day.
And I mean, this might sound strange. This is brought to my attention many years ago by an ice hockey player and S&C coach who was talking about players who'd broken arm and had it in a cast. And what they did was they, one group did nothing and the other group worked their unaffected arm. And as a result, when they took the cast off, they had, I think it was 30% less muscle wastage and a weakness because by them working on their good side, the nervous system was still firing on the opposite side, which I found very interesting. So he had always said to me, if you've got a bad ankle, don't hesitate to be doing calf raises and do work on your good ankle because actually that has some crossover benefit.
100.
Something to think about.
Absolutely. All the best with it, Aaron. Shout out to the people of Leeds. My bloodline comes from the north of England.
Mine comes from the south.
My people. Never been there, but you know, one day I will return to home. The hero's journey. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you listening. YouTube, what's up? Do the like and subscribe thing. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe. And if you want help with your strength or your flexibility or your recovery, download the Bulletproof for BJJ app. Start training right away. See you then.